My friends in Christ, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. The Word of God I would like to consider especially with you, although we are going to think about all three of the Scriptures today, but focusing on John 15, verse 5, the words of our Lord. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. This is God's Word. Please be seated. Today's Scripture readings form a sort of a scriptural triptych. And that word triptych means threefold. And it's an ancient Christian art form that divides a piece of art into three panels that are usually hinged. That are usually hinged, and so I have a little depiction of it there, so that they can be set up on a table or also folded up and transported. And oftentimes the central panel of the triptych is the larger of the panels is the main theme, and then the two side panels also add to that theme. So here is an example then of a classic triptych. This one is by the Dutch artist Cornelius Haarlem, dating back to about the time of Martin Luther, and back in 1600 or so. And you can clearly see, if you can see it, the Roman Catholic influence in this triptych. And here is an example of a more contemporary triptych. It takes a single picture and divides it into three panels and makes for a very lovely presentation. And then here is another triptych that hangs in some avant-garde museum in Europe. And I'm kind of like the guy that's standing there. Yeah, I don't get it either. You know, what is the artist trying to say here? Can it even really be called art? Three big blank canvases? What is this? The white cow in the snowstorm, right? I don't get it. Fortunately for us this morning, we don't have to stand there like that fellow wondering what the artist means. But this triptych of Scripture readings that we read this morning presents us a very clear message. So as we stand here now before the Word of God, let's try to appreciate what the artist is saying. The central panel of our triptych this morning is the gospel lesson and the verse especially that I just read for you. I am the vine, you are the branch. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So the first panel of our triptych looks like this. Jesus' declaration to his disciples is the focal point of our scriptural triptych this morning, because it emphasizes the bond that unites us to Jesus Christ and also to one another. He is the vine. We are the branches. The life of the vine is in the branches, as long as the branches remain connected to the vine. But the great irony that we see in this image is that the life of the branches comes to us through the death of the vine. Remember what Paul said to us in Romans? He said, while we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And for this reason, we will sometimes refer to the cross, this brutal instrument of death, as the tree of life. And that's going to be one of the hymns we sing today. Because at the cross, our death was died. The death we deserved. Our death was died, if that's a proper English. But we're going to say that in the closing hymn today. He died our death upon the cross. Alleluia! Because our death has already been died, all that remains for us is life. Life in Christ. His life. The life that he took up again on Easter morning in victory over the grave. A life that courses through our veins, that enlivens our spirits, and makes us fruitful members of his kingdom. And that brings us to the second panel, which is our reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And here now we begin to get a flavor of the fruit that we produce when the life of the vine is flowing through us. we read these words. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scriptures, he told him the good news about Jesus. And Philip baptized him. One of the most basic fruits of the Christian faith, when we are attached to the vine, is the fruit of love for those who are still lost in their sins. As long as we are connected to the vine and His life is flowing in us, the life of the One who gave Himself for the entire world, we cannot help but yearn for the salvation of others. And in love, do whatever we can to make that happen. Like Philip, who understood that you can't just sit on good news like this. The world's redemption in Christ, he had to share it. And because he did, the gospel of Christ made its first foray into the African continent. And as far as we know, this man from Ethiopia was the first African to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to be baptized into His name. Philip's example teaches us and reminds us that Christ is the Savior of us all, regardless of our language, our nationality, our skin color, regardless of whether or not we even believe in Christ. He died for us. So one of the most basic fruits that any branch connected to Christ will produce is the fruit of love for those who are still trapped in their sins. The fruit of a yearning for their salvation. That doesn't mean that we can all be Philip, reaching across cultural boundaries to speak with complete strangers about the meaning of Scripture in a winsome way. Some of us are bolder than others when it comes to speaking our faith, but all of us can bear the fruit of love for the lost. Even if you can't be Philip, you can be Philip's supporter with your gifts, with your prayers, with your encouragements, with your volunteerism in the name of Jesus. After our roundtable discussions last year, and with the help now of our elders and our stewardship board, we are wanting to do more and more of this as a congregation, reaching out like Philip did that day to that Ethiopian, that together we might bear the fruit of love for the lost. And like Philip, constantly seek ways to reach out to them. And that brings us to the third panel of our scriptural triptych, and that is the exhortation of John in his first epistle, and that is our reading today. John writes, "In this is love, not that we've loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Here is the fruit that identifies us as the people of Christ. As Jesus said in John 15, it's by the production of this fruit, the mutual love that we have one for another, that's how we prove ourselves to be Jesus' disciples. And this is not a love that is based upon our feelings for each other, or based upon our preferences for certain personality types. Rather, this kind of love is based upon our faith in the risen Savior and in the knowledge that Jesus did not just love me, He loved you too, all the way to the cross. And I therefore ought to love you. This love to which we are called is not easy. This fruit we are called to bear is not an easy fruit to bear. Because we do have differences between us. We are different personalities. We have different ways of looking at things, thinking about things, responding to things. And sometimes we rub each other. We offend each other. Yeah, it's hard to produce the fruit of mutual love for one another. But remember, this is not based upon our feelings for each other. This kind of love is a verb. As John said, let us not love in words or in speech, but in our actions and in truth. This love, the life of Christ produces in us, It's a love that rolls up its sleeve like Christ rolled up His sleeves when He set out to redeem us. That is willing to serve one another, to treat each other with the utmost respect that we are due as the children of God, irrespective of how we might feel about each other, just as God loved us when we were still His enemies. This kind of love, we can't do this on our own. Jesus says, you can't produce these fruits by yourself. We can only do it as we are connected to the vine. This love is inspired by the Holy Spirit as a response to the love of Christ. And it is the evidence that the risen Lord is present amidst His Easter people. And if you cannot love like that, John says, if you can't love each other in this manner, you really don't even know God, John says. It's that big of a deal. And it's time for you to get a checkup. So, Jesus says, abide in Me, even as I abide in you. Which simply means that as one who is attached to the vine, you need to take care of your connection to the vine. You need to tend to that connection and keep it strong so that the life of the vine will flow into you and through you continually. And there's no other way to do that, friends, no other way than to worship. To read and study the Word, to have devotions in your home, to pray together, and within the community of the faith of the fruitful branches, to be continually encouraged in your faith and spurred on to good works. And if the life of Jesus flows into you and through you, you will bear much, much of this fruit. And our church will shine in our world as a community enlivened by the power of the resurrection to tell the good news to anyone and everyone who will listen. And we will be a reconciling community bound together with one another in mutual love. And we ourselves will be the evidence that Christ has risen. And He has risen indeed. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.